Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, this is Democracy Now!
I am running to be president for all of America, not half of America, because there is no victory in winning for half of America. So tonight, with faith and devotion, I proudly accept your nomination for president of the United States.
Donald Trump accepts the Republican nomination just 5 days after surviving an assassination attempt, while giving the longest acceptance speech in convention history. Trump accused Democrats of cheating in the 2020 election. He repeatedly claimed there's a migrant invasion of the United States and praised Hungary's authoritarian leader Viktor Orban. We'll get response. Then protesters marched in Milwaukee to call for justice for Samuel Sharp, who was killed this week by Ohio police officers here for the RNC, and for Devante Mitchell, killed by security guards last month outside the Hyatt Regency Hotel.
My name is Naisha Mitchell. Devante was my brother. I was his big sister. We are definitely going to keep fighting for justice here. We saw them murder him in broad daylight. We need answers, and we want it now, and we need justice now.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. This is War, Peace, and the Presidency, Breaking with Convention. I'm Amy Goodman. Donald Trump took to the stage to close out the Republican National Convention here in Milwaukee last night in the longest ever speech recorded at a party convention. Trump formally accepted the Republican nomination. As in previous campaign addresses, Trump promised to, quote, launch the largest deportation operation in the history of our country, unquote, and drill, baby, drill. We'll have more from the RNC after headlines. Meanwhile, on the Democratic side, several outlets are reporting Democratic insiders believe, quote, we're close to the end, unquote, of Biden's presidential run, and that he could step down as soon as this weekend. Montana Senator John Tester, who's in a close reelection bid, became the second Democratic senator to call on President Biden to drop out of the race. This comes as the Washington Post reports former President Obama has privately told allies that Biden should reconsider staying in the race. Biden is now in isolation, suffering from COVID. In Gaza, Israel's bombed another UN school in Gaza City. It's at least the ninth UN school shelter Israel has attacked in the past 2 weeks. Deadly attacks have also been reported in the Brij and Nusayrat refugee camps, killing at least 13 Palestinians. In Khan Yunis, health officials exhumed and transferred the bodies of at least 12 Gazans who were killed when Israel attacked and besieged the Red Crescent-run Al Amal Hospital earlier this year. The mother of one of the victims traveled from Gaza City to retrieve her son's body.
He was martyred at the Red Crescent Hospital. They shot him and he had a loaf of bread with him, which he had to beg for to get for his daughter. They shot him in the eye and in the head. It rained on him. He was mashed with blood. He was just thrown there all day long. They weren't able to move him. They pulled him with a rope when they brought him to be buried here. I was able to know his whereabouts. They called me to inform me that my son had died. I risked my life to come here from Gaza City, but I said to myself that if I will die, I will die. So I put a piece of paper on my chest with my name on it, and I kept walking by the sea. I kept walking and asked around until I reached here with his sick father.
A new report by Oxfam finds Israel's used water as a weapon of war, with Gaza's water supplies plummeting by 94% over the past 10 months due to Israel's blockades and nonstop bombardment. Even before October 7th, Gazans' access to water was severely restricted. The destruction of Gaza's water treatment plants has forced people to resort to using sewage-contaminated water containing pathogens that lead to diarrhea, which is especially deadly for children, and diseases like cholera, dysentery, hepatitis A, and typhoid. Meanwhile, Palestinian health authorities say the poliovirus has been found in sewage samples from Gaza. Yemen's Houthi fighters claim responsibility for a drone attack on a residential building in Tel Aviv, which killed one person. A Houthi spokesperson warned the group will continue attacking targets inside Israel. Until today, Israel had intercepted the majority of Houthi strikes against Israel. Meanwhile, Hezbollah has claimed three separate attacks in northern Israel amidst mounting tensions in the Israel-Lebanon border. In Bangladesh, up to 28 people have been killed as student-led protests continue across the country amidst widespread anger over government quotas on public sector jobs. Hundreds have been injured as riot police clashed with protesters Thursday, deploying tear gas and rubber bullets in the capital, Dhaka, and other cities. Telecommunications were disrupted Friday, with television news channels going off the air. This is a protester in Dhaka.
How can the government run these attacks? We have been saying since the beginning that we are general students. It is a matter of common sense that over 50% of the jobs cannot be given away to quota holders. A normal state cannot be run like this.
Top U.S. airlines, including Delta and American Airlines and United and Spirit, were among a number of carriers around the world forced to ground flights this morning amidst a massive global communication outage. The outage, parts of which have now been resolved, appears to stem partly from Microsoft's software update issued by the cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike. The IT crisis also hit mass transit, banking, and health services. A British court sentenced five climate activists to record 4- and 5-year prison terms for participating in a Zoom call to plan a peaceful protest on a major London highway in 2022. The activists, who are with the direct action group Just Stop Oil, were convicted of conspiracy to cause a public nuisance in a case which has triggered widespread outrage. Michelle Forst, the UN Special Rapporteur on Environmental Defenders, warned, quote, "This sentence should shock the conscience of any member of the public," unquote. Meanwhile, Greenpeace UK said, quote, "We're giving a free hand to the polluting elite, robbing us of a habitable planet while jailing those who are trying to stop them," unquote. Outside the London courthouse, protesters gathered to support the activists who've become known as the Whole Truth Five as a van carted them off to prison. This is Just Stop Oil spokesperson Graham Buss.
We clearly do not live in a functioning democracy. A functioning democracy would be one in which we could act, in which we could make a change, in which we would be allowed to protest. The non-functioning democracy that we have is one in which oil companies and very wealthy people determine what our laws are, in which we get the chance to vote once every 5 years, and it makes no bloody difference at all, where we see governments, a new government coming in with virtually the same policies as the one that went out. How can you talk about a functioning democracy when we are in a climate collapse and our government is not recognizing it and not protecting us? It's absolutely disgraceful. It has to stop.
Back in the United States, a federal appeals court has blocked the Biden administration's student debt relief program that lowered payments for millions of people. The ruling stems from a suit filed by a handful of Republican states and affects the federal SAVE plan. Other aspects of that plan had already been blocked by lower courts. This came on the same day the Biden administration canceled another $1.2 billion in student debt for about 35,000 people working in public service jobs. a Texas-based nonprofit that contracts with federal immigration authorities, subjected unaccompanied migrant children to pervasive sexual abuse for nearly a decade. That's according to a lawsuit filed by the U.S. Justice Department Wednesday, detailing how workers at Southwest Key Programs repeatedly sexually assaulted children under the organization's care between 2015 and 2023. Workers also forced migrant children to perform sexual acts and pose for nude photos while threatening the children so they would fear reporting any of the abuse. Southwest Key is the largest private provider of housing for unaccompanied migrant children and receives grants from the Health and Human Services. It contracts with the Office of Refugee Resettlement. Lou Dobbs died Thursday at the age of 78. Dobbs spent two decades at CNN before becoming one of Fox News' star presenters. Among other things, he repeatedly spewed false anti-immigrant and racist talking points. He helped spread the birther theory against President Obama. A diehard Trump supporter, Dobbs was let go from Fox after the 2020 election in the wake of Trump's election fraud scandal after helping buoy Trump's lies. Back in 2007, Lou Dobbs joined us on Democracy Now! This clip starts with Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez grilling Dobbs over his lies demonizing immigrants.
All that would be needed to do is to raise the economic level in Mexico, and the entire illegal immigration population problems would decline in this country. And not only that, but the country, if it had a higher immigration
quota. Are you giving me instruction, or are you telling me what we agree upon?
No, we don't agree. We don't agree because you are demonizing illegal immigration as a separate issue.
How in the world can you use my name and anti-immigrant in the same breath?
When we hear comments like a third of the from you, we've played them, so we can't refute the videotape. Look, we can't refute. A third of prisoners are.
We discussed that.
Are illegal immigrants? No, a third of prisoners are illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. Not true. 7,000 leprosy cases in the last 3 years because of illegal immigrants. Not true.
We said that, and that's as straightforward as we can.
And you made an announcement on your show.
Absolutely.
And you will say it here.
Absolutely.
But it is not true. Illegal immigrants are not responsible for 7,000 cases of leprosy over the last 3 years.
To see our full hour with Lou Dobbs, go to democracynow.org. A Russian court has just convicted Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich of espionage. Gershkovich, a U.S. citizen, was tried behind closed doors. He was arrested nearly 16 months ago and accused of spying on a military factory for the CIA, charges the Wall Street Journal slammed as baseless. Earlier this week, Russia said it's holding talks with the U.S. on a possible swap involving Evan Gershkovich. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency breaking with convention. Coming up, Donald Trump accepts the Republican nomination just 5 days after surviving an assassination attempt. Stay with us.
Oh, no. Here he comes.
Oh, don't look at him.
Are you fellows rapping? I can do that Reggie or reggae type of thing, you know.
Well, actually, we were just leaving.
Trump, take out the cash in a me, Trump, take out the cash in a me, I'm on Donald Trump, me tell him I ain't heard about me. All me last wife, Ivana, come and catch me money. She want all she want, this, she want me in up front. And some of the this, we say not this like the cat, hear me. Hold up your hand if you love the money. Hold up your hand if you love picnic. Gun pan beside me, I be kill somebody, see. Because the money in a me trunk, they want me come get see.
I'm a house that we shelter. I'm a house that we shelter. I'm a house that we shelter. I'm a house that we shelter.
Well, how did you like that, then?
Well, we really must be leaving.
Yes, yes, Donald, it was smashing to see you again.
I picked up in the property I've got down in the Caribbean.
Yes, I remember.
Why don't you stick around, and I'll wrap some more for you.
No, I'm really glad. I think I see Jackie. Jackie.
Pimps freestyling at the Fortune 500 Club by the Coop. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency, breaking with convention. I'm Amy Goodman.
and I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. Donald Trump accepted the Republican nomination on Thursday night, just 5 days after surviving an assassination attempt. Trump gave the longest acceptance speech in convention history, clocking in at over 90 minutes. He began by recounting what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania on Saturday after a bullet grazed his right ear as he was giving a speech.
I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God. In watching the reports over the last few days, many people say it was a providential moment. Probably was. When I rose, surrounded by Secret Service, the crowd was confused because they thought I was dead. And there was great, great sorrow. I could see that on their faces as I looked out. They didn't know I was looking out. They thought it was over. But I could see it. I wanted to do something to let them know I was okay. I raised my right arm, looked at the thousands and thousands of people that were breathlessly waiting, and started shouting, fight, fight, fight.
During his acceptance speech, Trump repeatedly demonized migrants seeking refuge in the United States. Trump vowed to carry out the largest deportation campaign in U.S. history.
The greatest invasion in history is taking place right here in our country. They are coming in from every corner of the earth, not just from South America, but from Africa, Asia, the Middle East. They're coming from everywhere. They're coming at levels that we've never seen before. It is an invasion indeed, and this administration does absolutely nothing to stop them. They're coming from prisons. They're coming from jails. They're coming from mental institutions and insane asylums. I the press is always on me because I say this. Has anyone seen Silence of the Lambs? The late, great Hannibal Lecter. He'd love to have you for dinner. That's insane asylums. They're emptying out their insane asylums. And terrorists are coming in at numbers that we've never seen before. Bad things are going to happen. That's why, to keep our families safe, the Republican platform promises to launch the largest deportation operation in the history of our country.
Donald Trump was introduced by Dana White, chief executive of UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship. The evening also featured musician Kid Rock and the wrestling legend Hulk Hogan.
But what happened last week when they took a shot at my hero? And they tried to kill the next president of the United States. Enough! Was enough, and I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
Hulk Hogan's appearance at the RNC may surprise many, but he actually has something in common with Trump's running mate, J.D. Vance. Both have ties to the right-wing billionaire tech investor Peter Thiel. Thiel reportedly spent as much as $10 million to help Hulk Hogan sue the website Gawker.com. The successful lawsuit brought down the website. Thiel also spent $10 million to help J.D. Vance get elected to the Senate in 2022. To talk more about Donald Trump and the state of the Republican Party, we're joined by two guests. Benjamin Wallace Wells is with us. He's a staff writer at The New Yorker. His most recent piece is headlined, The Rise of the New Right at the Republican National Convention. He's joining us here in Milwaukee just after the conclusion of the Republican National Convention. And Maria Hinojosa is with us, the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and founder of Futuro Media. She is the host of Latino USA, joining us from New York. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! We're going to begin with Maria. What is stunning, and it's not just last night, Thursday night, when President Trump, the former president, hoping he'll be not only 45, but 47, which was on everyone's baseball caps. It was not only his longest speech in convention history, but in almost all of the references of speakers throughout the week, if there was a theme, it was attacking immigrants every which way. As murderers, as drug dealers, the assault, the invasion from the border. Can you talk overall, you were just in Milwaukee, about the significance of what has just taken place here?
My God, Amy, you know, if I let it actually get into my heart, I would want to start crying, which I'm not going to do because I'm a seasoned journalist. But when you kind of lay it out that way, Amy, that's the reason why I wasn't tuning in every night, because it is all, and I'm sorry to say, but it is lies, right? That's ultimately what we're talking about here. What we do know is that the Republican platform under Donald Trump is very clear. It is over and over and over about attacking immigrants, refugees, migrants, and travelers. What we don't have on the other side in terms of the Democratic Party is a response to that, right? There isn't a response to build a wall, which is precisely what we need. In the case of the Republican National Convention, you know, having been in Milwaukee, which, by the way, is a hugely immigrant city. Milwaukee, I don't know, you probably haven't had the opportunity, has an extraordinary street food culture of tacos, very particularly tacos. They love their tacos in Milwaukee. And so this notion that you have a Republican convention in a city that has a huge immigration population, undocumented and documented, but somehow everybody's safe in Milwaukee. It does not jive with the narrative, the constant narrative of what Donald Trump says about who we are. And again, Amy, what we know, it's not me. Of course, I traveled across the country. I'm at the border. I talk to immigrants and refugees every single day of my life. But we know what the Justice Department has said. We know what the FBI has said, that crime over the past three decades has decreased by 49% in the United States. And meanwhile, what the Congressional Budget Office has said is that immigration and immigrants are going to grow the American economy by $7 trillion over the next decade. You cannot have it both ways. The role of the journalist is to not repeat the lies of an authoritarian. That's why what's happened at this Republican National Convention is so problematic for me as a journalist, because we cannot be the ones who are repeating these claims and then not doing the work of constantly doing the fact-checking. It's impossible to do with a convention that we have now seen is essentially, specifically on the question of immigration, lying over and over and over again. It's, again, I'm sorry I got emotional. I hate when that happens, but when you kind of hear it one by one by one, and I'm just like, where do I live? What country do I live in? Because if everything that he said is true, then our American economy would be tanking, right? And actually, there would be rampant crime across the streets. That is not the truth. And even Trump supporters can say that, because if they just open their eyes, they know that's not the truth.
And Maria, could you explain what you think the effects of and the influence of J.D. Vance, the selection that Trump made as his running mate, his vice president?
Well, I actually think it's a really smart choice. I'm trying to understand J.D. Vance's motivations behind his decision to push to become Trump's vice president, considering that he was a never Trumper for a chunk of his earlier political career. I think he is an attractive person. You know, when people talk about, you know, once Trump dies, what's going to happen with the MAGA movement? Actually, you can see it following under someone like J.D. Vance. So, it's a good choice if you believe in that entire rhetoric. The problem with J.D. Vance is that he's been on the record so many times, right? And the record does not forget when you say things about Donald Trump and how much you can't stand him and how much he's a problem for the country and how you don't trust him and how on the question of immigration, he's wrong. And then now you have J.D. Vance fawning over Donald Trump. So there's definitely some interest on his part. And of course, I would love to speak with his wife, who is an immigrant, to understand just how she's putting this all together.
So, Benjamin, could you talk about
his wife's parents are immigrants?
Thank you for the question.
Ben, if you could talk about your reflections on the convention last night. You also covered the 2016 convention. So, and you were there last night when Trump, you were on the convention floor when Trump gave his over 90-minute speech. Your response?
Well, it was a very interesting turn. The first 3 or 4 days of the convention were pitched as a display of unity, you know, and to a degree normality. You know, in 2016, there had been tremendous protests, counter-protests, both outside of the hall from activists who opposed Trump, but also inside of it from delegates and other candidates. You know, Ted Cruz famously gave a speech at which he declined to endorse Trump. And it was really a very contested and tense, menacing sort of event. This was supposed to be the smooth, you know, made for TV, you know, everybody's on the same team, Republican Party. And for a while, for the first two and a half days, it kind of looked that way, you know. There wasn't so much difference between the MAGA wing of the party and the, you know, traditional Republican, small government conservative wing. People seemed to accept J.D. Vance, who had been seen previously as maybe a little bit of a populist insurgent, as you know, Trump's heir and a central part of this movement. I think last night threw a lot of that into question. Trump was just straightforwardly weird, you know. He began with this kind of odd but interesting account of his shooting. I mean, just a horrifying event and, you know, in some ways sort of historic to get a first-person account of it. But he went on for another hour. He, you know, had no clear message to deliver. He was supposed to be talking to swing voters. He didn't offer them very much, you know. There's a way in which the whole party seemed to set up this convention as a way to declare we're done with 2016, we're done with all of that internal and external conflict. We're about to win a big victory, they thought, you know, and Trump sort of got in the way.
I want to stick with Peter Thiel. You know, at the beginning of this, we talked about Hulk Hogan's appearance. You have Hulk Hogan, you have Kid Rock grabbing his crotch, you know, you have UCF, right, the head, Dana White, introducing Trump, and he yes. talked about how important that was. But what isn't so obvious, as we said, this whole issue of Peter Thiel's connection, the billionaire's connection to Hulk Hogan, that he is the right-wing billionaire who reportedly spent as much as $10 million to help Hulk Hogan sue the website Gawker.com, ultimately taking down the website. That was the same amount of money that Thiel spent to help get Vance elected to the Senate in 2022. Yeah. Talk about who Peter Thiel is and why this matters.
It's a really important question. And I think, you know, the money in Silicon Valley and sort of this kind of dissident right money in Silicon Valley is moving through a lot right now, including at this event, this convention. You know, Thiel is a billionaire. He was one of the founders of PayPal and then one of the most influential, you know, investors in other technology companies in Silicon Valley. Quite right wing. He came from a sort of libertarian politics. In 2016, he spoke at the Republican National Convention, and his support of Trump was at the time crucial to grounding him as sort of, you know, not just a TV star or a extremist, but somebody who had support within the business community. Vance's career, I think, would not be possible without Peter Thiel. That $10 million in the 2022 Senate election
in Ohio pushed
him up into to make him a sort of legitimate candidate at a time when, you know, the Republican establishment in Ohio, though there wasn't one particular candidate who was behind, didn't know him very well and wasn't backing him. I think it's important to dwell not just on Thiel here, but on the question of sort of Silicon Valley money. Elon Musk this week pledged $45 million a month to support a Trump super PAC from here until